This is Electric Sisterhood Podcast Episode 38. This is not marriage counseling. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best,
girl gaming gadget and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sister.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl, and I'm back!
About damn
finally.
Time.
Finally!
Jesus.
I know.
So anyway, we're glad to have Magic back.
Yay!
And so as we get ready to delve into the fun part of the podcast, we have to do the business part first. Because the business pays for the fun stuff.
Yes.
Sort of.
Business before pleasure.
I prefer
my pleasure in business.
Don't mix business and pleasure.
That's a bad idea.
No, it just makes you a whore.
That's only if pleasure is your business.
Well, it should be.
If you profit from your pleasure, then it can make you a whore.
Well, I'm not a whore.
I know you're not a whore.
But then again, if business is pleasure, it just means you enjoy what you do for a living.
Yeah.
This is true. Some people enjoy being whores.
Well, I'm not a whore.
I'm on a whore thing today.
I know, you are.
Yeah, it's Friday and I've seen some skankalicious people.
Well, is Friday like skank day or something?
Evidently it is. The skank come out of the woodwork. I'm just like, dude, it's kind of early to be skanky.
Thanks. Here they come, save the day, skanks.
What are you singing, like March of the Skanks or something?
Oh my god, there should be a documentary called March of the Skanks. And Morgan Freeman should do the voiceover. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I would pay just to hear him say the word skank over and over again.
Like, here comes another skank.
The skanks are in fine form tonight.
He'd probably get an Emmy or whatever, a Golden Globe for saying skank. But anyway.
Golden Globe?
Yeah, I'm not speaking. I'm sorry. Anyway, continue on with the business, Ninja.
Thank you. You have to keep hitting up the website, www.electricsisterhood.com, or you can use our short address, which is esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi. Short address will bounce you to the same place. So, you know, if you're telling people about us or having a hard time remembering or you're doing the drunken internet thing, esh.mobi is a lot easier.
Martini? Yeah, I'm sorry.
When you're drinking your pomegranate martinis and you're on your fifth or seventh, 13 one, it's probably easier to remember esh.mobi.
Yeah.
And see, the thing that popped into my head was the TLC Life Lessons. Merlot and email don't mix.
Yes, they don't.
Oh, have you tried it? Me.
I'm just going to say
E-E-D.
That gin and tonic can go well together. Gin and emailing, not so much.
Mm-mm. You know, nope.
Just a nugget of information from Ninja to you.
Email does not play well with others.
It does not. Also, we do have a candy bitch.
Yay!
And in order to be a candy bitch, you know you have to come to the website and either comment on a post or fill out our form using the hit us up link on the website. And so this week's candy bitch actually came from using the hit us up link.
Yay!
Yay!
And this week's candy bitch I actually handpicked. Instead of using the little thingy.
Loves you.
Yep, so.
Ninja's got a favoritism thing going on.
I do. But hey, I pay for the candy, so I can give it to whoever the fuck I want.
I know, like, not giving it to me.
Suck it, bitch. Alright, so, this week's candy bitch is, drumroll please. Alright, you got candy, bitch.
Who got candy?
Arret.
Yeah, who got candy?
Arret.
You know, oh, okay.
the guy that commented and answered some of the questions that we put forth in the previous version of the podcast, because there were some things that we weren't on that we were unsure of. And he actually sent in an email and corrected us on a couple of things and explained some things. Like one of the things,
that's right. Yeah, I read that mail.
Yeah, it's one of the ones that you read.
yeah, we love it when people write in and correct us.
Yes, no, because we actually asked for people if they knew. Because they one of the things that we talked about in last week in the podcast when you weren't here was Elf and Lead, and how what really weirded me out about the series was the relationship between the two cousins, how they, you know, one wanted to bang the other as opposed to...
Oh, I read that email.
Yes. As
so
opposed
I read
to the
answer.
Going up. Exactly. And so we were kind of going on and on about, you know, how the little girls with pink hair ripping people apart, you know, in half and things like that didn't bother me, but, you know, cousins wanting to do the Humpty Hump did.
Do the Humpty Hump.
And so...
Humpity, 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 hump.
Yes. And so, he wrote in...
The Horizontal Mambo, the Forbidden Dance.
I knew somebody was going to do it. I should have known it was going to be you.
She can always be counted on for that sort of thing.
And that's why I love her.
See, I'm dependable in a sense. That's not very funny. I meant that seriously.
Oh, see, that's why it's funny, because you meant it seriously.
So anyway, that's our candy bitch. Eric, I will be dropping you an email with all the instructions on what you need to send to me in order for me to get your candy in the mail to you, and we hope that you enjoy it.
Yeah, since I haven't had any yet, so I hope it's good.
See, we can't be enthusiastic about that. We don't know what eating the candy bitch candy is like.
So have you ever eaten an M&M?
Yeah, but it's not candy bitch candy.
This is true. Oh. It hasn't been put in the cute little bag with the bow and the whole presentation. Yeah.
I know several people who will swear to God that green M&Ms taste different.
Yeah, because I'd be one of those people. But anyway.
Three then. I know three people.
Enjoy the candy. Keep putting us up on the website. Definitely, definitely, definitely hit up the Freshware folks. We actually dropped the price on a few things in the Freshware store, and we added a couple of new items. We actually have a new long-sleeve t-shirt in the Freshware store now, so you can come by and buy some shit and help support your local anime, tech gadget, and gaming podcast.
Oh, yeah, weren't you supposed to send us t-shirts for Christmas?
Yeah.
What happened?
Probably in boxes by the door.
No, I haven't whipped out the credit card yet. Oh. Look, I had other shit I had to buy.
So our t-shirts are in the same place as our candy.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, the candy's actually over on the wall. The shirts haven't been made yet and or paid for.
Oh, boy.
Wonderful. Right.
I guess I could do that this weekend, but now that I've been browbeat, I'm going to go sulk in the corner and hand the mic of 1,000 truths to Pandalicious. What are you doing with it?
Well, I'm taking it, and I'm going to watch you go to the corner, because, you know...
Because it's funny to watch people...
Do you want me to put the damn dunce hat on, too?
No, you don't
do it like
the
do it like Tamaki! Do it like Tamaki!
Anyway, so, I'm actually going to kind of go back into the gaming aspect of, you know, Panda, because we know I'm, you know, either purely WoW, purely anime, or purely, like, game console. But...
Wow. You heard it here, folks. Pandalicious is actually multifaceted.
I know.
She has some depth.
My God.
I know you're surprised, but it's true.
Multifaceted means she has a whole lot of faces. And that I'll agree with.
Anyway. So I'm actually going to backtrack way back. I believe one of our very first podcasts was about this game. I'm going to shine a new light on it today, though, however. I was, you know, at my college, and I have a bunch of friends who are totally, you know, part of, you know, the geekdom, you know, the dorkness, you know, and this is what we do. We debate, we just have fun with everything. And
that's good.
We were talking, you know, because a lot of them, you know, are in computer science, you know, a lot of them want to do gaming stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and one guy in particular, he's like, I kind of can't wait to see if Kingdom Hearts 3, you know, even comes. Because, you know, there's a lot of speculation that the guy who made Kingdom Hearts 2 wasn't sure.
Technically, Kingdom Hearts 2 was Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah.
Well, Chain of Memories.
Then Kingdom Hearts 4. Apparently, even though there's a special, you know, like, tidbit of a snippet of what possibly could be the next one if you unlock everything in the second game, but when the creator was asked about it, he said he didn't have any plans, you know, to make another one. But that doesn't necessarily mean that one is not in the making. But we were just sitting there doing this whole, like, what if, you know, this next one comes out? What would you like to see? What wouldn't you like to see? And we had this big, long conversation about it, and I felt very moved, and I was like, you know, like, I love being able to talk about games like this with people. I'm getting different perceptions. So, you know, I sat there, and I was taking notes, you know, and listening to people. You know, and we came across some, you know, general consensus.
There you go.
Yes, that's the word.
Or you could just say, we were in agreement.
There were a lot of theories being bounced around. Because if you've watched the secret snippet, which you can find on YouTube.
Yeah, I had to, because I am not unlocking everything in Kingdom Hearts 2. I ain't tried for days, ain't shit happening.
You know, and it kind of shows, you know, three Keyblades, and you kind of already know where two of them belong. You know?
Okay, that right there, that's what drove me nuts. Like, at the beginning of the first movie, didn't they say it was only possible for one person to ever wield the Keyblade?
You know...
So how come at the end of the second game, everybody's got a Keyblade?
Not everybody.
Did the Disney store for Keyblades open up? At least?
No, what happened was Walmart came in and said that everybody should have Keyblades at a low, low daily price.
Anyway, so you know where two of them belong, because, you know, Sora has one. You know, Mickey's got one, but I don't think his really is all that important to the three that you see in this snippet. You know, you realize that, you know, Riku's got one.
Yeah, that's the three of them.
Right. So you know, and these three guys come, like, all dressed up in, like, black leatherish pleather. You know, you can't see who they are at all. You know,
and one of them. Organization 13 outfits, or?
No, they're kind of different. They kind of look like Batman, but cooler.
Okay.
And it's funny because as they're walking up, you notice one of them totally has boobs, like a vicious rack, you know, so you're like, oh god.
Obviously not a man, then.
That's right. So the speculation is that this, you know, in this third one, or fourth one, quote-unquote, Kairi's gonna get a Keyblade. And, you know, and everyone's like, nah, I don't know if I want to see Kairi, you know, have one, you know, she's supposed to be a princess of light, you know, and then like, well, it's like, yeah, but you know what's really funny, you know, when your heart
I've seen pictures of Kairi with a Keyblade, so she's probably gonna get one.
She probably is. You know, and we were
Well, it would
about,
be the
know,
only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does.
As far as progression. The first one is Sora with a Keyblade, the second one, Sora, now Riku have a Keyblade, and then the third one, as far as the game series is concerned, would only make sense for Kairi to get one, even though she's a princess.
Yeah. So, I mean, and we
were... I'm going to cry sexism.
So we were debating that fact, and then we were all also thinking, you know, if you've played, you know, Chain of Memories, you figure out that Naminé is Kairi's nobody.
Right. No
okay,
spoiler
you also
alert there.
That in Kingdom Hearts 2.
But you never know Kairi's heartless, which we thought was kind of funny, because everyone else, you know, you see kind of Sora's heartless, you know, when he turns into the little, you know, shadow. When he goes, like, after...
When was she turned into a Heartless, anyways? That's the part I don't remember.
No, because she didn't. You know, and they usually say once your heart's been taken, you know, you become a Heartless. But you never see it. You never see her firm. So, you know, we were debating whether or not, you know, maybe in the third one we might actually see some backdrop to the fact that she had one, or what it looks like, or you may come to battle it in the game, you know, as Kairi, you know, battling through your, you know...
So you think the whole story is going to be about Kairi?
I think a good chunk of it is gonna be Kairi based, because it's gonna be her coming across her Keyblade, you know, and we don't know anything about a Heartless coming from her, and we know that, you know, she didn't have a heart for a while because it was kind of in Sora.
Oh, that's right.
You know? Yeah.
So yeah, so there's a lot of speculation about that, you know, and then also, you know, we were also kind of debating, you know, the fact that I know you kill some of Organization 13 in Chain of Memories, but you don't kill them all. And then you kill a couple more in Kingdom Hearts 2. So, you know, we're debating, okay, well, that means that we're most likely going to have to kill a couple more.
you know, and Xehanort in the third one, slash fourth one, you know, and for some reason, someone even thought that there was a possibility that all the people in Organization 13, even though they're somebody's nobodies, they might be nobodies of other Keyblade holders, which is why, you know, they seem to have extraordinary power. And
that's possible, but although they had really interesting weapons, none of them were Keyblades.
Yeah.
Mm. Roxas was the only one to use a Keyblade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these are all just speculations. These are all things that just came out of people's heads. You know, and then we were talking about, you know, which worlds would we like not to go back to. And I think it's quite certain that no one wants to go back to Atlantica.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's no need to go back to Atlantica.
No one wants to go to Atlantica. Because we were speculating that if we went back, it would probably, you know, take place in the sequel to The Little Mermaid, where, you know, you're dealing with Melody, who's like, oh, I want to go in the water.
Wait. You watched the sequel to The Little Mermaid?
No.
I have no respect for you anymore.
Oh, please. There's so many things that you haven't seen.
Stop. It's not that I haven't seen. It's that she actually willingly saw.
Hey, it was free movies, all right? Sometimes you do what you gotta do, okay? She's a broke college student. What do you want? Don't judge her for loving Disney.
So yeah. So we're like, okay, well, we totally, you know, don't want to go, you know, there. You know, I actually kind of think I'm kind of over, you know, Agrabah, I think.
Yeah, Agrabah's done.
If we were going to go back, they would have to pull in the whole, you know, King of Thieves thing. You know, and we get it.
That's equal, I did see.
Okay, so let me ask you then this question. What areas or worlds would you like to see them add instead?
Well,
I would like to see Mulan's world done better.
Yeah.
I didn't like it much.
They really shortened it out. Like, they didn't give you a lot of, like, in all the other ones, you kind of go through the story a little bit. And with Mulan, it was just like, okay, she's already dressing like a man. Let's get her rep up and let's kill some stuff. Yeah. And they totally didn't go into any of that. You know, and I would like them to actually go back to Neverland. I want to fly.
You can fly.
And I don't mean glide. Like, you know, you get some air and you can, like, coast. Fuck that. No, I want to fly. You know,
I understand.
I want to fly. We were also thinking that maybe, you know, because we're debating between all the new, you know, CG Disney Pixar movies that have been, you know, coming out, mm-hmm. that maybe if they incorporated an Incredibles.
Oh my God, that would be so much fun.
Yeah. That would be a really awesome thing, because you could picture Sora, you know, walking down the street and all of a sudden, you know, get this special ability and, you know, like, he can do something and Goofy can do something different and, you know, Donald could do something different, and they have to be like superheroes and help, you know, the Incredibles, you know, on the island or something like that.
Oh my God, that would be fun. I think that would actually be a really good level.
Yeah. And we also thought that, you know, Tron, if they need to go back to Tron because they need to do it right.
Yeah, because the Tron level was fucked up.
Yeah, they didn't give enough of Tron.
Okay, they fucked up the light cycle race, and you can't say that you're going to have a Tron level and fuck up the light cycle race.
So we would like to go back to Tron. We were also saying that we'd like to see more happening in Hollow Bastion, because in the games, you know, they really drew out in Beauty and the Beast the darkness of it, because, you know, you got, you know, Beast, who's, you know, already kind of, you know, darkened himself, you know, and they fed you in this darkness, and you just kind of want to know more, and you think more is going on at Hollow Bastion slash Radiant Garden.
Right.
I hated the way they did that in the second.
They never have changed the name. It should have stayed Hollow Bastion.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate the name change myself. But we wanted to know what more could possibly go on, because we figured, you know, they're making this place darker and darker with each game. That, you know, at one point, there's something really seedy got to go on there.
Right.
Or rather, we'd hope that something really...
You find the Beast's secret opium den.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
He's selling all of his teapots into slavery.
You know, we were debating on, you know, if we'd want to go back to Pride Rock. Actually, a couple of people who were there weren't all that happy with Pride Rock in the second game.
you know, they were debating about how technically impossible it would be for Sora to hold the Keyblade the way he did in his mouth and fight.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of liked being on all fours, you know.
Yeah, that was
and
fun.
And the lion. And, you know, killing shit, because that's cool. But, you know,
and,
I can understand.
Goofy and Donald and they were pretty funny, too.
Yeah.
And I mean, think that the animal, I mean, the level itself was fun, and the graphics were really nice in Pride Rock. But yeah, if you're going to pull things apart, obviously a lion would not hold a Keyblade like that in his mouth and be effective. But at the same time, you couldn't just let Sora, you know, what would you do? Lions mostly attack with their teeth and, you know, only use their claws really to pull things apart. You going to make his claws keys?
I know, right? Yeah.
Well, if you're really going to pull it apart, nothing like the Keyblade actually exists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows how light the thing is.
So there was, you know, there was a mixed feeling about, you know, going back there. We were also talking about how we'd like to see if the Hercules world, if the Colosseum was going to be there, mm-hmm. if they could actually put a stronger story and make the world maybe more accessible, except for, you know, you're just battling monsters in tournaments.
Right. Yeah, I would like to see that world expanded too.
You know, maybe see a little bit more of Hercules' story, you know, with Megara instead of, you know, oh no, Megara's actually in the, you know, in hell, we have to go get her. It's like, well, why is she in hell? If you gave us the story, we'd know.
Right.
You know, something like that. We were also hoping that maybe with this, you know, third/fourth game coming out, that maybe they would incorporate more of a fantasy feel to it instead of having, you know, two, like a go-back world like Travis Town or Twilight Town, where you just go back, get more things, and, you know, and have something more going on instead of it being like a resting stoop.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. After the conversation, and it sounds like it was a really good one.
We were talking about it for hours. I was late for jazz class.
You know, you've thought all about that.
Jazz hands. Guys, it was Spirit Fingers.
Oh, no. There's another movie that's like, jazz hands. anyway. I can't remember what it is right now, but it is. So, my question was going to be, now that you've said all this stuff and you've had some time to think about it and digest the conversation, what do you personally want to see as far as new levels if they do a Kingdom Hearts 3?
I'd like to see what they're going to do with Halabashan. I don't want them to get rid of that. I definitely like the Incredibles idea, and I would totally play that level like a mother. I definitely do want to see more Tron because, you know, I didn't happen to watch the movie. And everyone, you know...
You still haven't seen Tron?
No.
Look.
And I want
you've
to...
You've got 3 fucking weeks, and then I'm going to throw you off the goddamn podcast.
Oh, my God.
I've seen parts of it, but none of it, not the whole thing all the way through.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I would like to see, you know, how they're going to tie in Kairi to being able to wield a Keyblade. I would really like to see if they're even going to go the route of, you know, why didn't we see Kairi's Heartless? Because, you know, her nobody was quite powerful. So mm-hmm. I'd assume that her Heartless would be just as powerful, but on a different way, in a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So I really would like to see that.
What would you think of an actual Final Fantasy level rather than Final Fantasy characters smattered among other levels?
I would love that. I would love that. They really, you know, I know they were saying, oh, we're going to splice the two. I mean, okay, so you just put some characters, you know, that's fine. But, I mean, I'd like a world.
That would be cool. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but now let me ask you this. If they were to make a Final Fantasy world.
Which one?
Okay, not even which one. Wouldn't you be disappointed as a person used to playing Final Fantasy games to have to play through that world like a Final Fantasy game, and so in the middle of playing Kingdom Hearts with the battle system the way it is, have to basically in the middle of it change the system?
No. It wouldn't be a Final Fantasy game. It would be a Final Fantasy world played Kingdom Hearts style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I would totally like that because, no offense, you know, like in Final Fantasy X, it's like, yeah, I'm running through the Calm Lands. Up, pixelation, up, we have a fight. No. I'd rather, you know, be running around, up, I see something manifest, let me kick its ass.
Yeah, but that's what I've been saying about all Final Fantasy games. That's the way they need to be in order for me to play them.
Yeah.
You gotta see things coming rather than random encounters.
The pixelation thing that was like, do-do-do-do, oh, it's gonna be a battle. Now you pick, am I gonna hit or am I gonna protect myself? And then I hop, 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 and I hit you, hit you, hit you. And then I hop, hop, hop back to my place. That fucking drives me up the wall.
So you're not a turn-based player.
No.
But yeah, I mean, that's what happened with Final Fantasy XII, though. They totally did a whole, non-super turn-based style. But actually, after the first few weeks, there were speculations that people weren't exactly thrilled with Final Fantasy XII because, once you got your gambit set up, you could pretty much just watch the game.
Right.
Like, you could just set it up for, and you wouldn't have to do anything.
I haven't played it.
I will send it to you. Because
I like turn-based games because I never, in Kingdom Hearts, I'd be in the midst of battle and I'd never have time to cast magic. So through all of Kingdom Hearts, I never cast magic except Cure when I really, really needed it.
Yeah,
because I just didn't have time. I just didn't have time to be navigating the menu because it wasn't turn-based.
The thing is, I don't want to navigate a menu. I want to see something and I want to hit it till it dies. Then once it's dead,
you mean it.
I want to hit it
like
some more.
Button masher.
Okay. Then when it dies, I want to hit it some more, pick up its corpse, and throw it off a bridge. That takes me to a happy place.
But if you throw the body off a bridge, you can't loot the body.
You're supposed to loot the body beforehand. That's just a given. I thought I didn't even have to say that part.
But anyway, we were thinking about that. I love the idea of the Incredibles thing, and I would totally go for that. We were also thinking about, if they were going to do a tie-in with, we were speculating that they might do Lilo and Stitch, because they did make,
Stitch was
a summon. Yeah. So, yeah. We're thinking that they could possibly end up doing that. We were also thinking maybe it'd be funny if they put Monsters, Inc. in there a little bit.
That would be fun.
That would be a very fun world.
You'd be going through, in the old
going
world,
through
like,
doors and stuff.
Yeah. Like the door to the world would be, a closet door. Mm-hmm. And Sora coming out, well, that's kind of weird, and they're, Sully and Boo. And we thought that would be a really nifty idea. I'd love to see something that innovative, and I really would like to see a Final Fantasy-based level, purely level, in this game
world.
Yeah. I would like that.
It sounds great. It really does.
It was such an involved conversation. And
I'd buy it.
Enjoyed it.
I haven't finished KH2, but I'd buy that. If that game came out next year, I'd buy it and play it until, my fingers were pretty much bloody.
So, with all that, I'd love to hear what other people thought, for people who liked KH or didn't like KH, if there were things that you could change that would make it something that you would play.
Fewer cutscenes.
I would love to hear people's opinions because it was such a good conversation and I'd love to share it with our audience. And that's really all I have to bring to the ESH table today. So with that, I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 truths to Magic. Magic, what are you going to do with it?
I am going to talk about Legend of Black Heaven, which is a...
I need a little black of heaven.
Anyways, it's an older anime back from 1999, which is actually quite a bit. I don't know. I'm like stuck in the year 2000. I think. Oh yeah, that was like a year ago. But that was like
Aquarius.
8 years ago. but it's a 13 episode series back from 1999, and the way I got into it is I was rewatching all the AMVs that I picked up at Anime Boston 2005.
Woohoo!
And I came across one that I really liked, but it was the only one of the AMVs where I'd never seen or even heard of the anime that it was made from. And it was called Silence of Black Heaven, and it was perfectly synced to Sound of Silence from Simon and Garfunkel.
Really?
I was like, ooh, awesomeness. Ooh. Gotta check this out. So the whole story, basically, is... You ever wondered what happens to rock stars after they pass their prime?
Yeah, they're supposed to die.
They're supposed to die. They're supposed to drug overdose. What are you talking about?
Okay,
do they actually survive losing their careers? Yes.
What has happened to Rod Stewart, by the way?
I don't know.
Okay.
He made,
I never cared one way or the other about Rod Stewart.
I know, neither did I. But now he's singing standards and Frank Sinatra stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck? You're if you want my body, dude. What are you doing? And then I realized, that's somebody's grandpa. And I stopped myself. Please continue.
Right. Well, this series, it's about former rock star OG, his, in quotes, Gabriel, because that's what he was called, Tanaka. Mm-hmm. And he's past his prime. He is, at one point he says he was born in the early 60s, so he'd be 50-something at this point.
Yeah, that's really old.
Yeah, that's old. It's incredibly old for an anime character, because, you know, anime characters are always in that 10 to 30 zone.
Yeah.
you can't tell.
And then it's either 10 to 30 or their grandparents.
Yes. Yes, yes, or they're dead.
Yeah.
And they're ghost thing. But OG is, he's scruffy, glasses-wearing guy with, you know, the beginnings of old age in his, like, getting to be wrinkly face. You know, like crow's feet and stuff, not like I'm old wrinkles, but like I'm getting old wrinkles.
Oh yeah. No, those primary, those first wrinkles.
Yeah.
The first. Yeah.
Yeah, those.
The first signs of aging?
Yeah, that. and I found it really hard to relate to him, or even like him, because I was like, he's an old guy, what do I have in common with him? But I got to like him more as the series went on, because he kind of, you know, revived and got his, like, life spirit back. And at the end, he's even kind of cool.
Oh my god, he's actually kind of cool.
He's actually kind of cool. All right, but I haven't even told you what the series is about, so let's get back to that.
Yeah.
So, OG is, you know, the contentedly married, middle-aged salaryman guy with the cubicle and all that. He's got his nice job and his nice apartment and a devoted family. And he's generally bored out of his skull. but 15 years ago, it wasn't quite so boring, because he was known as Gabriel. And he was the lead guitarist and singer of the hit heavy metal band called Black Heaven.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. So, but these days, he's got to deal with everything from his wife throwing out his favorite guitar to his kid playing Frisbee with his one-of-a-kind signed albums.
Oh, God.
How awful is that? So one day, the day his wife threw out his last guitar, his favorite guitar, he's all super depressed, and he bumps into this mysterious blonde woman who invites him to take up the guitar again.
Uh-huh.
And she lets him into this, like, secret room and stuff. But what she doesn't tell him is that she's an alien, and his sound is powering the ultimate weapon of an army fighting in an intergalactic space war.
Oh my god.
Weird,
so,
huh?
So it's basically like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, in that his music is going to determine
the fate of a species.
Yeah, but she's an alien. She doesn't understand what music is. She doesn't understand how songs are different. She just needs him for his sound.
Well, at least she just doesn't need him for his seed.
I know, I was about to say, I'm like, oh no. Oh no, no, no.
Oh no, no, no.
Oh no, no, no.
Okay, you guys gotta stop that. Cut it out. Alright, so, you know, suddenly, OG is, he's living his dream again. But due to the fact that he's, like, all revitalized, and the fact that he keeps disappearing with a beautiful blonde alien, his marriage is put under some unique pressures.
Uh-huh.
And basically, Black Heaven just takes the whole Battle of the Bands concept to the extreme.
To the extreme.
Just a little.
Because at one point, the enemy army, they're getting totally devastated by this ultimate weapon. So they get their own musicians' sound to fight back. So it literally culminates as a giant galactic Battle of the Bands.
That's awesome.
Kind of cool.
Isn't it? Okay, but although the series has all the aliens and the space battles and the
affair type things, you know, the talking neighbor ladies.
The adultery.
There isn't actually any. There isn't,
there's
promise.
There's just a hint of hinting.
But everybody thinks, like everybody thinks there is. So it doesn't matter in the reality.
Going to the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, just multiple times.
Yeah. Like an affair.
Yeah.
But not with the sexual benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
It's completely platonic.
Kind of.
Galactically,
because they do start feeling something for one another, so it could become an affair at some point.
Hey, if you start emotionally connecting with somebody else, that's adultery.
You can't emotionally connect with anybody.
Not with somebody else if you're married. Not on that level of like partnership stuff. You're not supposed to, because if you do, then you're cheating on your partner.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Shit. I thought it had
I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Because, like, I mean, there's nothing you can do about connecting with somebody.
Yes, you stop being around that person.
Okay, whatever.
Nah.
We're not going to go into that.
Yeah, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. This is true. This is not marriage counseling.
I'm sure there's a podcast.
Oh, my
I'm
God.
Sure that
we
there
would
is.
Be awful marriage counseling.
I'd be like, leave the bitch. Move on. Next.
You
leave
should break
him.
Up, because I would totally hit that if you weren't together.
Ninja! Oh my God! Magic! What are you? Oh God! I'm completely.
You guys are a really bad influence.
I was about to say because I was like, when
otherwise.
Would she ever say that? I almost fell out of my chair.
Oh my goodness!
The black is rubbing off, and
I know.
So I feel accomplished in that.
Magic, your black is showing.
Yes, it's.
I know.
It's been less than a year, and your progress is coming along well. I'm gonna have to chart this today. And this is
my melanin levels are rising.
They are. Pretty soon you're going to have quite the tan, young lady.
Oh, does this mean my hair is going to frizz up?
Yes. Ooh. Welcome to the world of Afro frizz.
Not all black people have nappy hair, okay?
I didn't say nappy. I said frizzy.
I said frizzy too. I didn't say nappy either.
Yeah, nobody said nappy.
I don't have frizzy hair.
When it rains.
You straighten it every day. That's why you don't have frizzy
Wait,
hair.
What happens when it rains?
Well, if,
yeah,
you know,
it goes.
No, I wrap it up. I protect it.
See, I don't know anybody. Guys,
because
I don't know
otherwise,
anybody can have nice hair, though, when it's raining.
Yeah, no, you don't understand. If you don't wrap it, Panda, what happens?
What happens?
It becomes a shrub.
Thank you.
Oh God! Visualization.
Oh, mine goes totally mushroom. I look like a freaking mushroom from Super Mario Brothers. It's sad.
You're a
Wait,
Goomba.
So does that mean it sticks? It sticks like straight up and then kind of goes out.
Yes. So on the top, it's kind of like it looks like a mushroom. It comes out at the sides, at my shoulders, and my head is kind of round. So I look like a Goomba.
That's awesome.
I know.
I can never just sing that last part.
That one?
Something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
So, although this series has all the aliens and hot chicks and comedy and awkward situations and space battles and blah, 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 all that's actually pretty minor of a presence. The series is really about the change in Oji as he's gone from this defeated, deflated old guy to a guy who might still have a dream.
Aww.
And he gets what he loves most, and he hasn't been able to do that in years. And it redefines his relationship.
People get their dreams back.
It's so cute.
All right, try not sounding half as sarcastic next time you say
no,
that.
No, it's not sarcastic.
I love when old people get their dreams back.
I know, but you sound like, oh my God, I love it when a little pug is here. He's so cute.
He is.
Puppies are adorable. And old
yeah, you're like
dreams
descending
are awesome.
Or something.
But I know that you're serious and sincere.
I
and that's
am serious.
Sweet. But you sound like, it's like, puppies are cute when they don't shit.
Well, they are.
This is true. They are adorable when they aren't shitting on your stuff.
But, yeah. So anyways, it redefines Oji's relationship with his wife and his kid, and not always in a good way. But this is the type of anime that's got some sort of deep life lesson in it.
Okay.
But aww. I couldn't figure out...
what the lesson was supposed to be?
No. I couldn't figure out if it was making the point that the past can't be relived and you shouldn't try and recapture it.
Uh-huh.
Or if it was saying it's never too late.
Aliens to help. You know, aliens could always come down and ask me to, like, act to power their ship. I would love that.
Yeah, if like, an alien ship came down and was like, yo, we need your Photoshop skills in order to power our mega, you know, destabilizer weapon thing.
Actually, they just call it the ultimate weapon.
Okay, so I would totally bust out my Wacom tablet and be like, yo, what can I do? I would whip it out. Yeah, I said it. I said that.
I want to know Ninja Sister will whip it out.
On occasion.
Whip it out.
I'll whip it out and I'll put it down on you.
Board out. She'll rock out with her block out.
I'll rock out with my walk out. I love that. That's awesome. I need to put that on a shirt. And then have like a little tablet underneath it. That would be awesome. It'd be an awesome fucking shirt.
Okay. But then there's all sorts of, like, really, really funny things that, like, Little Pearls of Wisdom, like...
Don't follow the balls when they make the street.
No. Things like, there are things you can't learn unless you're drunk.
Well, this is true.
Wonderful life lessons such as that. Yeah. But just like, you know, how I liked Oji better as the series went on... I also liked the series better as the series went on. It took me a few weeks to actually muddle my way through the first few episodes.
Uh-huh.
I kept turning it off and saying, I'll come back and watch it later, which is incredibly different for me because I'll like sit down and watch all of the series all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Be like,
that's what I do.
Just one more. But I couldn't sit through it. But once I got myself past the halfway point, I really got into it, and I found myself actually enjoying the series. Oh, God, I can't believe it. But, you know, I did.
Mm-hmm. That's good, though.
If I had to classify it, I'd call it a drama, because it's really about Oji's relationships with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the biggest drama fan.
Myself.
Well, really, coming to terms with the fact that, you know, he didn't have to really let that part of him die. He just kind of thought he did to have the family, and that, you know, maybe he didn't need to let that part go and he could still be a husband and the family man and at the same time rock.
Yeah. He could still channel his demon flavor.
Tastes like chicken. Okay. Moving on.
But I'm not a big drama fan. It needs to, you know, explode, have magic powers, or be violent for me to like it.
Right.
But Black Heaven actually managed to win me over despite itself.
Well, that's cool.
So I give Black Heaven a 2.5 of 5.
2.5?
2.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the first half of the series, I didn't like it. And then the second half, I got into it, but it, I don't know, it's not my favorite anime ever. I'm not going to go out and buy it.
So it's mediocre.
It is something that I would tell you to check out, because it's really interesting. It's just, it's not my thing, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So I'll give it, I don't know, a black and white M&M for tight black leather pants, leather vests with no shirts, and zebra-striped bandanas.
Yeah.
As well as half a yellow M&M for the terrible blonde wig OG wears when he's pretending to be Gabriel.
Okay. All right.
But
now I have to see it just so I can see this wig.
Yeah, yeah. The wig only shows up like twice, but it's awful. Oh my God, is it awful? But yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So that's my spiel. I'm going to hand the mic of 1,000 Truths to Ninja. What are you going to do with it?
I'm going to take the mic of 1,000 Truths and I'm going to talk about, or actually compare, Gears of War to Crackdown. Well, the Crackdown demo, seeing as how Crackdown hasn't come out yet, the full version.
Cool.
But I finally got my hands on a copy of Gears of War. I traded in a bunch of games, including some PlayStation 3 games. Surprise, surprise. And was able to get a controller, a charge, rechargeable battery for my Xbox 360, and a copy of Gears of War, and it all totaled me like $11. That's wow, to give you an idea of how much stuff I traded in. It was time. I had to exercise the demons. I have to say that I really enjoy Crackdown, playing the demo. It's just been way too much fun getting to live out my superhero on a tirade, stomping the bad guys, jumping from building to building in a simple bound, and pretty much, for the most part, repelling bullets and blowing shit up. That's been pretty much fun.
Blowing shit up is always good.
Blowing shit up is always a positive thing. It's going to make you smile. It brings out the kid in you. In video games, blowing shit up. Yes. Blowing shit up in video games is good for your soul.
We should add that qualifier.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for your soul. Blowing shit up in real life, while it may be fun, we don't recommend it very highly. People get testy when you actually blow up their physical shit.
Yeah, it requires either a user's license because you're doing construction or something, or a therapist because you're going to kill people with it.
Yeah, yeah. Which will usually wind you up in the pokey prison, and that's not where you want to be, people.
Nobody wants to be in the pokey.
Nobody wants to be in the pokey.
I don't want to be pokied.
Nobody wants to be pokied.
I don't know.
No, actually, some people do want to be pokied, but there's something wrong with them.
They have need of a therapist. Moving on, because that's another podcast.
ESH.
We do
suggest therapists for everyone.
Yes, therapy for everybody!
I self-heal.
What, are you, like Wolverine?
Yes. Her skeleton is made out of adamantium. Mine is made out of Megilla Gorillium. That's a friend of mine's joke, and when he hears the podcast, he's gonna laugh his ass off. Alright. So anyway, I was first playing the Crackdown demo, and I've talked about this before and actually did a post on the website about it, but I got my hands on Gears of War this week, and pretty much in the spare moments that I've had when I haven't been doing the Wii bowling, I've been playing Gears. And it's really a stretch for me because I suck. And I do mean I suck.
I'm so glad that you admit that you suck, Ninja.
I do. The next qualifier is, do I spit or swallow? And that's a completely another podcast. But I suck at first-person shooters. I'm not any good at them all. I have a real difficulty strafing and turning my body when it's on two different controls. Because, you have one thumbstick that controls the actual horizontal movement, for aiming and things like that. And then you actually have the analog stick that actually controls your movement. And that is very disconnected for me. And I just have a very hard time getting that stuff to all work in addition to firing or, having to launch a grenade and things like that. And so I because I suck at them, I usually stay away from them. But, everybody that I've ever heard anything from that had played Gears of War was like, you gotta play it, it's so cool, it looks so I was like, fine, if I can get it real cheap, I'll finally pick it up. So I was able to do that, and first of all, I'll agree with every single one of those people, Gears of War is an awesome looking game. The physics are phenomenal, the graphics are great, the voice acting, when you have it turned on so that it will cuss, you actually believe that the lead character is as gruff and cynical as he sounds.
Awesome.
Which is always cool. But I suck at first-person shooters, and so it took me a while to get past the first checkpoint. But it looked so good and sounded so great that I stuck with it, and comparing it to Crackdown, it's a lot easier for me who, without giving anything away that you haven't already heard, I play mostly fighters and music games. Those are what I'm really good at. That's where my heart is. That's my bread and butter. That's my get up in the morning, don't take a shower, be a little stinky, get on the DOA and whoop some ass. That's my thing. But I really wanted to try and stretch myself and try and play these first-person shooters, and it's really taken me a while to try and adapt to the control and to really get to a point where I felt comfortable doing the multiplayer, because both Crackdown and Gears of War have a multiplayer. And I think because of the fighting background, Crackdown is a lot easier for me to get into because there is shooting, but the majority of the game is like a platformer almost, in that you have specific checkpoints that you have to hit and specific agendas that you have to follow, but the route to getting those things done and the path that you take is kind of open. So, like I said before, it's kind of like a Grand Theft Auto, Tomb Raider, Superman, exactly. Where, you know, Gears of War plays more like a Halo, and that structure and the way that the mechanics work, I just have a really difficult time with it. I don't know how many people out there have played the Crackdown demo and have played Gears of War, but you probably at least feel along the same lines, because the games really are very similar in their objective, but they play completely and totally different. And because, again, you know, it's not a first-person shooter, Crackdown. It is, you know, an action title. But it's goal-based as well. So I tried to play a little bit more and really see, you know, if I didn't already own Gears of War and I was going to buy Crackdown, you know, if I play these demos like in a kiosk at GameStop or something like that, which one I would want to pull out of the store and actually plop down $60 for. I'm probably going to say at this point it would be Crackdown and not Gears of War, just because it's so hard for me to really enjoy the first-person shooters because I'm not good at it, and I'm not too, you know, proud to say that I'm selfish in that if I'm not good at a game right off the bat, I don't want to play it.
Stay with what's comfortable kind of
exactly.
thing.
And, you know, and so that's why I bought Gears, was to force myself out of that, because I found that, you know, a lot of people would come over now that I have all the systems and my, you know, apartment is pretty much the hot spot on my floor in my building. Is that everyone's like, oh, do you have this game? And I'm like, no, because I don't like that type, so I've never played it. And they're like, well, do you have this game? I'm like, no, because I don't play those, because I didn't like this one title in that genre, so I pretty much thought the whole genre sucks. And so I had one guy that was like, dude, how can you have a PlayStation and not have ever played da-da-da-da-da-da-da? And I was like, because I played a previous version and it sucked, and so that was that, and I never played the genre again. So I'm trying to come out of my comfort zone.
Okay, you talk about this one game from the genre that you didn't like, that ruined you for first-person shooters.
Because when I say it, you're going to be like, oh, come on, I can't believe you haven't done it. Because it was a Final Fantasy game.
Wait, no, the one he said, I can't believe you haven't played it. But what was it that ruined you for them?
Final Fantasy VI.
Never played it.
Yeah. Didn't like it.
Oh,
hated
wow.
it.
Wow.
So I played probably about 10 minutes of Final Fantasy VII, and I haven't touched a Final Fantasy game since.
You didn't like VII either?
No.
Oh, wow.
I hate turn-based.
Well, I've owned VII for ever, and I've never gotten off the first disc, so...
But, you know, most gamers, the moment I say that, they look at me like, I have said that I would like to shit on Jesus Christ. They're like, I can't believe that you have a PlayStation 2 and you don't play the Final Fantasy games. Just like people, you know, when they see my Xbox 360, like, oh, dude, you need to put Halo in. And I'm like, I don't own it. It's like, how the fuck can you have an Xbox 360 and not have Halo? And I'm like, okay, see, here's my suckitude and here's Halo. Now, if I was to put this in a pie chart, you'd see that 85% of the pie chart would be my sucking at Halo. And the other percentage would be my not being interested in it.
She said pie chart.
I said pie chart. Pie. Now I'm getting hungry. Fuck. So anyway, so my challenge...
Don't worry. We'll get to the toast eventually.
Yes, yes.
We're almost there.
Yeah. So the challenge that I'm going to put out for people is, if you have an Xbox 360 and you already have Gears of War, play the Crackdown demo. It is available for free. You can only play at an hour at a time, because that's the limitation of the demo. Both of these games have co-op modes, so my challenge is play Gears of War co-op and play Crackdown co-op, and then hit us up on the website and tell us what your experience is, and really ask yourself, you know, if I had to go back now and do it and I could only buy one of these games, which one would you pick and why? Because I'm really curious to see if, personally, I think that the first-person shooter genre needs an overhaul. And I'm wondering if playing these two games that are really going to be big money games for Microsoft and for the Xbox 360, if they're really going to be the games that made people go, okay, we know that things look as great as they can look now, and the physics work as good as they're going to work for quite some time. So what are going to be the next advancements? Where can you go, basically, from Crackdown and Gears of War?
I hate questions like that.
I know.
Questions like, if you could only choose one, which would you choose?
Yes.
It's
the plane's going down. You've got two parachutes, and your mom and dad and you are on the plane. You have to take a parachute. Who do you pick, your mom or your dad?
That's harsh.
Ooh. I know. Don't those questions suck?
No, but it's not realistic, because when are the Gears of War people gonna rise up and destroy every possible copy of Crackdown? When is that gonna happen? You can have it both ways.
Well, what will happen is they'll do a whole run of these games, and I'm not talking about physical disc. I'm talking about you only have $60 in your pocket, uh-huh, and the rest of your money for the month is gonna pay your fucking rent. You can only buy one game.
You have $60 and that's gonna pay your rent?
No, you have $60. No, honey. No, baby. Here, follow the logic. You only have $60 to spare because all the rest of your money for the month has to pay your rent.
I was like, sweet.
You can only
rental
buy
for less than $60. That's awesome.
Yeah. So you can only buy one game.
But see,
game.
Even then, it would be which one would you take first? Because if you really want to, you can go back next month and grab the other one.
You know, for somebody who didn't make it to a bunch of podcast recordings, you sure are throwing a big-ass monkey wrench in my thought-out process.
No.
So I think you're going to have to do the business in the beginning of the show next week.
Fine.
Ooh, snap.
Get all up in my
shit. See, that's not a punishment. I'm, like, excited about it. It's like, cool. I get to be all official.
Whatever.
Yeah, wait till you fuck up a couple times. Then you won't go.
I fuck up all the time. What are you talking about?
I know. If you get it right the first shot, I'll be like, damn it.
All right. So with my question all fucked up, put out there, I'm going to say this podcast is toast.
Yeah, it seems kind of toast to me.
Yeah.
Hey.
So I'm going to ask Magic Mystic Girl, since, you know, you've missed a couple of recordings first, what you're going to do with your toast so you can get kind of back in the groove.
I'm going to be boring. I'm just going to eat it.
All right, that works. That works. Okay, eating the toast is what it all eventually comes down to. Panda.
Actually, I think I'm going to give it to somebody else because I'm having maki.
Ooh.
Mm.
You know, I could really go for some miso soup right now. Oh my god, my finger just locked again and it hurts. Why do I always do that? Alright.
What are you doing with your toast? You want to turn it into a bandage?
I want to turn it into a splint so I'll stop jamming my finger. No. I'm going to take my toast, actually, and I am going to use it. I'm going to make bruschetta with my toast, actually. Ooh, so I'm going to do it a little extra well done, and top it off with some olive oil and some mozzarella and some tomatoes.
Yummy.
Awesome. Yeah. That sounds delish.
After my toast, though, I'm going to wait a half hour, and then I'm going to play DDR. Because I figure if it works for swimming, it'll work for DDR.
Don't want to cramp up, right?
Yes. That's the idea.
All right. Well, with that said, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
And we are out.
And we're out.
Out.